And now, Kindalach, it used to be in the house another girl also, and her name was Leah. She was always going around with a box of tissues. And she's crying. And Yaakov would ask, well, why is Leah crying? Leah is the sister of Rachel. She's an older sister. Why is this Leah always crying? Why is she always crying? And they would tell Yaakov that Leah is worried because people used to tease her. They said, do you know that in Eretz Canaan, you have two cousins? The older one, his name is Esav, and the younger one is Yaakov. And over here, by the uncle, by Lavan, is two girls. The older one is Leah, and the younger one is Rachel. So what they're going to do is make two shiduchim. The older girl, Leah, will end up marrying the older boy, Esav. And they'll have a chasana, they'll go to the chuppah. And the younger girl, Rachel, she gets to marry Yaakov, the younger one with the younger one. And when Leah found out who was Esav, that Esav is such a vilda, rasha, doing a Vedas, she started to get afraid and cry. She's afraid that she's going to have to chas v'shalom marry this Esav. And she used to go around the whole day with a box of tissues crying, oh, I don't want to marry it. And she was afraid that she has to marry Yaakov to marry Esav. And now, kiddies, at the end of 7 years, Lavan says to Yaakov, okay, now it's going to be time for the chasana, just like I promised. And Yaakov says, remember, you promised, don't make any shtick with me, and don't make any baloney mices and bubba mices, and don't make any cheating. I worked 7 years for you, for Rachel, your daughter. Oh yeah, Lavan says, I promised, don't worry. And now it came time to make the chasana, but Lavan, since he's a cheater man, he does not want to pay for a chasana, because a chasana costs a lot of money. You have to get, first of all, you have to get food, you have to get fishy and flesh or chickens with kugels and challahs and wine, and you have to have over there people to serve it, and all this costs a lot of money. And you have to have over there mezainis, and you have to have mashke. And there's the band that costs a lot of money, and you have to rent the place that costs money, and they have to clean up the place before it that costs money, and afterwards it costs money. And you have to buy the chasan and the kala, different things that cost money. And you have to have invitations that cost money. It costs a lot of money to have people come to a chasana. Now, Lavan does not want to pay for a chasana. But Lavan says, ooh, I got a good trick. Lavan had a lot of tricks. I'm going to make a beautiful chasana, but I'm not going to pay a penny for it. I'm going to trick everybody. And that morning, yeah, Lavan goes to the marketplace, the shopping. Everybody is there shopping, and it's busy on a market day. And Lavan gets up there over there on a big box, and he says, hey, everybody, who wants to hear a funny joke and a good trick? Who wants to hear a good thing? I'm sorry, forget it. At first, Lavan didn't tell him the trick. He started like this. He gets up on a box. Lavan gets up on a box and he says, who wants to come to a big chasana? Who wants to have a delicious good suda with fishy, with kugels, with chickens, and with delicious soup, with salad, mezainis, and wine, and mashke, and fancy cookies? Who wants to come to hear a good band, and dance, and sing, and all for free? Who wants to come to the chasana? Ooh, Oh, this is going to be wonderful. Hey, Lavan, you're going to make a chasana? Yeah, who wants to come to the chasana? Oh, we all want to come to the chasana. So come here. Everybody come around here to the chasana. It's going to be tonight at 8 o'clock. Come to my house. We're going to get ready for a big chasana. Who wants to come? Oh, we all want to come, Lavan. Okay, now, who wants to hear the secret trick of the chasana? Oh boy, we want to hear. Yeah, you're going to see a good thing if you come to the chasana. Besides all the delicious stuff to eat, and all the good music and dancing and singing and l'chaim and all the freilichet fun of the chasana, and you're going to dress up, of course, in your fanciest, schmanciest clothes, and your shiny shoes, and your good hats, and all the good stuff with the jewelry, and all the angapachket earrings, and all the zachen. You're going to have a fun trick, and this is what I'm going to do. But remember, it's a secret. Nobody knows but you. Yeah, Lavan, tell us a secret. Okay. I promised Yaakov 7 years ago that he is going to marry my daughter, Rachel. And he's working for 7 years to marry my daughter, Rachel. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a trick. Under the chuppah, she's going to come out the challah in the white dress with her face bedecked and covered with the veil, and you can't see her face. And like it is, only after they make all the brachas, they lift up the veil and you see the challah's face. You know who's going to be under the chuppah with Yaakov? Not Rachel, like I promised, but Leah. Leah is going to be there because she's older. And why should the younger girl get married before the older girl? Leah's not married yet. So I'm going to make Yaakov marry Leah instead of Rachel. Oh, is he going to be surprised when she lifts up the white veil and instead of Rachel, he's going to see Leah? Ooh, boy, his face is going to turn red just like a... just like a tomato. And if you come, you're going to see such fun stuff over there. Oh boy, Lavan, we can hardly wait. Okay, tonight at your house, 8 o'clock. No, Lavan says, no, not at my house. I'm going to get a, if all of you are coming, we're going to get the big hall. Very, very beautiful hall. We'll get the big hall. And don't worry, I'll rent it out. I'm going to make over there all the delicious food and manas. We're walking away. Lavan says, oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I changed my mind. You cannot come to the chasana. None of you can come to the chasana. And they say, Lavan, why not? We want to come to the chasana. Oh, it sounds like such fun and delicious things and a good trick. And you invited us. Why can't we come? And Lavan says, I can't trust you now. I told you the secret. Or after all, you begged me to tell you the secret, so I told you. And now you know the secret. And so, probably one of you is going to go to Yaakov, and you're going to tell him, and he's going to find out, and then I won't be able to do my trick, because he's going to think over there that Leah will be there, because somebody told him. And then it wouldn't be a trick anymore. It's only a trick if he's surprised. And he's only surprised if he doesn't know. And he's not going to know if nobody tells him. And the only way nobody will tell him if you don't come, so nobody can come. Ay, but Lavan, we want to come. You already invited us. We're looking forward to it. We promise we're not going to tell. We promise we're not going to tell. We promise 1,000 times we're not going to tell. Lavan says, I tell you, I have a good idea. Now, Kinalach, listen to this trick, because this is exactly the trick that Lavan had planned in the first place. When he woke up in the morning, the first thing he didn't wash no Nagelwasser, and he didn't say Moedi Ani. The first thing in his brain was a trick. He woke up already with a trick. Maybe he had a dream about the trick in his pajamas. And he woke up, and he was still thinking about the same dream that he had in his pajamas. And this is his trick. He says to the people, anybody that wants to come to the chasana has to go home, has to get the most expensive golden or silver thing in their house, like a beautiful thing for candles or jewelry or a ring or something, a fancy schmancy piece of shiny stuff in his house, and you have to bring it to me. I'm going to wait here for exactly 1 hour. And you're going to give, for example, let's say somebody has a beautiful, let's say, golden cup, golden becher, covered with jewels. Let's say one of you has a beautiful golden becher covered with jewels. Okay? And he says, you know, I know what you have in your homes. I've been there, so I see what kind of stuff you have in your homes. Don't think you're going to bring me some cheap thing if I know you have a better thing. You're going to bring me the best thing in your house, because I know what you have. I notice when I'm there. Now, you're going to bring it to me. I'm going to put it in the bag, and I'll write down. For example, George brought me the beautiful cup with the diamonds. Okay, now, George, because you bring it to me, you're going to the chasana. Now, if you keep quiet and don't tell the secret, then you'll get back after the chasana. You come tomorrow, the same time, and I'll give back to George his beautiful golden cup with the diamonds. Let's say Fred wants to come to the chasana, so he brings a beautiful necklace. Okay? Because his wife also wants to come. She wants to wear the necklace, okay? So you bring me something else. You'll bring me a silver tray, okay? You'll bring me the silver tray. I know you have a big, fancy silver tray. So Fred, you and your wife want to go to the chasana. She wants to wear her fancy schmancy necklace. You bring me the silver tray. And if you're quiet and you don't tell anything, so then you get it back tomorrow. In other words, I'm only holding it to make sure you don't tell. But if you tell the secret, then you will not get it back. I will keep it. And that will make sure that you don't tell the secret, because I'm sure that it's not worth it for you to lose your fancy stuff just to tell the secret. And that way, I'll make sure that you will not tell the secret. So whoever wants to come to the wedding, to the chasana, will bring me from their house something good. I will put it in a bag. I'll write down your name. I'll keep it. I'll put it away in a safe place. And tomorrow, whoever did not tell the secret and you had a good time at the wedding, you'll come back here tomorrow and I'll read the names and I'll give everybody back what they gave me. Fair enough? And the people said, yeah, Lavan. Okay, that's fair. That's a good idea. Okay, Lavan says, I'm waiting here exactly 1 hour. And whoever comes with a good thing, and I write them down, I put it in the bag, he comes to the chasana. But whoever does not come back, and if you don't give me anything, you will not come to the chasana, and I'm going to make guards, and if you try to come, they're going to throw you out. They won't let you in the first place. And everybody ran home. And George brought this, and Fred brought that, and Craig brought something else, and all the people went home and they got their fanciest, smanciest stuff, because they know that Lavan knows what they have, and they made a line, and they're standing in line, okay, and Lavan writes down, this person brought this beautiful silver thing, and this person brought this beautiful golden thing, and this beautiful necklace, until he had a big bag full of all these things. And the people went home and they got ready now to go to the chasana the whole day. Fans are making their shoes shiny and getting ready and all those things. And they think, of course, that Lavan is going to go and put away all of their things in a safe place. And tomorrow they think they're going to get it back. What did Lavan do? This is what he did. He's schlepping the bag, or maybe he's making one of his servants schlep the bag. And he goes to the bakery. Okay, tonight I'm making a big, big wedding, and I need 1,000 bilkalach and a gigantic challah. And I want it delivered to the big hall. And the man in the bakery says, but Lavan, that's going to cost a lot of money. Oh, don't worry, don't worry. I got the money. Okay, how much is that? Okay, that's going to be $2,000. And Laban reaches into his bag. Okay, what about this beautiful silver becher and this necklace? You think that's worth about $2,000? Oh, yeah, that's worth about $2,000. Okay, how about we trade? I'll give you this stuff for the chalas. Oh, okay. In those days, people used to either sometimes pay money, or really, that was before most places was any kind of money, they used to trade. They used to trade things. In other words, this is worth, let's say, $100, so they give this thing, and they get something else. They trade a cow, for example, for clothes. They trade 10 chickens in order to get, let's say, a bunch of other things, whatever it was. Okay? So Laban now traded some of his stuff for the chalas. He goes next to the next store. Over there was the flesh store. Tonight I'm making a big wedding and I need a lot of chickens and I need a lot of cows and a lot of flesh. Oh, Laban, that's expensive. It's going to cost you about $3,000 for all that. No problem. And he takes out of his bag more silver and more gold and he pays for the flesh. And next he goes over there to the place where they have all the fancy schmancy wines and mashkes, the liquor store. And he orders wine and he orders mashke for the chasana. Okay, that's going to be about $1,000. Don't worry. Takes out of his bag. He goes over to the band. Okay, I need the best band to play with. I need 5 trumpets and I need violins and I need a few drummers and I need a few flutimans playing flutes and I need the best singers and the piano-y man. Okay, guitars. Okay, you want a big band like that? That's going to cost you a lot of money for a big wedding. $10,000. No problem. And he takes out of his bag more of this stuff. And he rented the tables and he rented the chairs. He paid for everything from the money that the people gave him. Okay? He didn't spend a penny of his own. And of course, Kinalach, that night, everybody came to the chasana. And of course, Yaakov was now under the chuppah. And the Kala Rachel was getting dressed in a gown. But Kinalach, Laban came in and he says to Rachel, you're not putting on the white gown, but Leah is putting on the white gown. Not you. You're not getting married tonight. But Tati, it's my chasana tonight. 7 years I'm waiting for this night. Well, I'm sorry, but your sister Leah is older than you and she is going to marry Yaakov and not you. And as much as Rachel tried, of course, to talk to her father, he doesn't listen. He's a Rasha and he's a cheater. And Leah was crying. She didn't want to do this to her sister, but her father was forcing her. And she had no choice. And so they put the gown on Leah. They put the fancy white dress on Leah. And now they're singing, and Yaakov is under the chuppah. And everybody's standing there, and the Kala comes out now with the white thing over her face, and they can't see. And now they make the whole thing under the chuppah with a chasana, and they break the glass, and now it's time to lift up the white thing on the face. And Yaakov sees it's Leah. He got married to Leah already. He was cheated. And all the people were laughing at the good trick. Oh, look, see, such a trick. Ah, oh, what a trick. And they had such a good time laughing. Did you see the trick? Yeah. Hey, Fred, you saw that trick. Yeah. Hey, George, you saw that trick. Yeah. Hey, Craig, you saw that trick. Ooh, yeah. Oh, it was so funny. They were laughing. What a joke. What a trick. They didn't know that the joke and the trick is also on them. Oh boy, they didn't know that yet. Well, they went home after that chasana with a full beichel full of food that they ate and a full mouth of laughing also. And they went to sleep in their bed. Some of them put on pajamas, some of them didn't have pajamas to put on. They were so tired, they just went home to sleep. And the next day, the people go now to get their money back from Lavan. And they're waiting over there in the marketplace. And over there is standing the box. And it comes time that Lavan said, this time you should be there to get your money back. And Lavan is not there. Lavan doesn't come. Lavan is not there. And they're waiting another hour. Lavan doesn't come. People are waiting. Craig is there, and George is there, and Freddie is there, and Harry is there, and John. And they're waiting for all their money that was in very expensive things they gave. Finally, a few hours go by. Of course, Lavan is sleeping, and then he gets up to eat, and he gets up crazy. He goes for a walk. He doesn't come. And finally, they go walking over to Lavan's house. And Lavan's over there in his yard, in the sun, watching birds, and just, drinking a drink and eating a lolly. Hey, Lavan, why you didn't come? Why you didn't come? We're waiting for you. Lavan says, come where? What are you talking about? To the marketplace. You said you're giving our stuff back today. We're waiting. It's expensive things. You promised you're giving back all of our things. The silver bechers and the golden cups with the jewels. Lavan says, what are you talking about? What silver things and golden things in the marketplace? I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe by the wedding you had too much to drink, maybe too much wine, maybe you had dreams in your pajamas last night. I never said such a thing. But wait, you took from us yesterday all of our things and you said you'd come back and give it. Lavan says, I don't know where you got that idea. I never said such a thing. I'm sorry, you better go. You're in my yard. Out of my yard. I'm busy watching birds. Go away. Hey, well, Lavan, give us back our stuff. And he calls his guards. They throw him out of the yard. And the trick was on them. Lavan had tricked them. They didn't get back their stuff. Lavan had spent all the money to make the wedding. Because Lavan was a tricker and a cheater and a big baloney man and schlecht. And he was a cheater. Well, kiddies, this is what happened. Finally, a week goes by. Every night is a Sheva Brachas for a week. And Lavan says to Yaakov, I'll tell you what. At the end of this week, we shouldn't mix one chasana together with the Sheva Brachas of the other chasana, because you're not supposed to mix one simcha with another simcha. You will marry also Rachel. We'll make a second chasana. Because in those days, a man was allowed to marry more than one wife. I mean, even Avram had Sarah and he had Hagar. And so Yaakov is going to marry Rachel at the end of the week. So he's going to be married to Rachel also, but he has to be working another 7 years. If he wants to marry Rachel, he has to work another 7 years. Now, why did Lavan do this? Because he wants to keep Yaakov there as much as possible. Look at the brachas that Lavan is getting from Yaakov if Yaakov is working for him. Everything is good. He has more sheep. The water now is good. The food was good. The plants were growing. He didn't want to lose that bracha, because what happens if he's going to get married? Maybe he's going to move away. And he doesn't want him to move away, so he's tricking all of these things to make sure that he stays. So, kiddies, a week went by, and at the end of the week, when all the Shabbat brachas were over, they made a second chasana, and Yaakov got married to Rachel. Now, Kinalach, we heard a story about Lavan and about cheating, an interesting medrash, and, of course, this is a part of the Torah. But the main part of the story and the main part of what we are supposed to know about this we really didn't talk about. Akinalach, what does the word Torah mean? You know what means Torah? What does the word Torah mean? No, the word Torah means a lesson, teaching. Teaching you something, how to live like a Yid. Wait a minute. Lavan is a big Rasha. Lavan is in the Torah. This Lavan, the cheater, is in the Torah. Wait a minute. The Torah is Halik, the Torah is good, the Torah is from Hashem. What is Lavan and this whole Maisa doing in the Torah? What do we learn from it to be a Yid and to be good and to serve Hashem? What do we learn from it? Now let me explain two things. Or actually two stories about one thing. Sometimes to be a tricker man is a bad thing, like Lavan, he cheated people and he tricked. But sometimes a trick could be a good thing. Sometimes a Yid has to play a trick. Sometimes a Yid also has to be a tricky person. Who does he have to play a trick on? The Yetzahara. The Yetzahara is always trying to trick you. And if you go straight with the Yetzahara, sometimes you're not going to be able to win him. Sometimes you have to trick him and be a little bit smarter than him. And then something good happens. Now, I'm going to tell you two things. One is a story. A story from the Alter Rebbe. Now, the Alter Rebbe, Kinalach, went to the town of Mezrich to learn Chassidus from the Mezrich Magid. There was a big tzaddik, his name was Dov Ber. He was the Mezrich Magid. And he was the Rebbe after the Baal Shem Tov. He was the leader of Chassidus after the Baal Shem Tov. And the Alter Rebbe went to learn from him Chassidus. The Alter Rebbe didn't know Chassidus yet. But one thing the Alter Rebbe knew was very, very good nigla. You know what's nigla? There's two parts of the Torah. There is nigla, which is the open part of the Torah, like Chumash, and like Gemara, and like Mishnayos. And then there's the secret to the Torah. That's called Pnimius HaTorah, or it's called Nister, and this is Chassidus and Kabbalah. Secrets of the Torah. Now, the Alter Rebbe knew very, very good Nigla. Excellent Gemara, excellent Mishnayos, excellent Chumash, excellent Shulchan Aruch, and Dinim. But the Alter Rebbe went now to learn Chassidus, Nister, Pnimius HaTorah. And he came to the Magid of Mezrich, and the Magid of Mezrich saw that the Alter Rebbe was such a great Talmud Chacham, and the Alter Rebbe came to learn Chassidus, and the Magid wanted to teach the Alter Rebbe Chassidus. And so the Magid had a good idea. The Magid had a son, and his name was Avram. And they called him Avram the Malach, because he was very halik like a Malach. And Avram the Malach knew excellent Chassidus, a lot. And this was the son of the Magid. So the Magid said to the Alter Rebbe like this, "You and my son Avraham should learn together. He will teach you Chassidus, because he knows very good Chassidus. He will be your teacher for Chassidus. But I would like you should teach him Nigla, because he also knows Nigla, but you know even better than him. So Reb Avraham, the Malach, will teach the Alter Rebbe Chassidus, and the Alter Rebbe, in return, will teach the Malach, Reb Avraham, Nigla." You understand? And so, Kinalach, each day, they had a time to learn together, and they made up like this. The first hour, the Alter Rebbe would teach Avram Chassidus. And the second hour, I'm sorry, they made up like this. The first hour, the Alter Rebbe would teach Nigla to Avram. And then the second hour, Avram would teach Chassidus to the Alter Rebbe. So 2 hours a day, and they sat down to learn, and there was a clock on the table. Or maybe it was on the wall near the table, but it was very close to them. There was a clock right there. They looked on the clock. Okay, let's say it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they sit down and they take down the Gemara, and the Alter Rebbe is teaching Avram Nigla, he's teaching Gemara, and they're learning for an hour, and the Alter Rebbe is looking on the clock. Oh good, 1 o'clock, time to learn Chassidus, 1 o'clock. Close the Gemara and take down now this Sforim of Chassidus. And now at 1 o'clock they open the Sforim of Chassidus. And of course, they're supposed to learn till when? Till 2 o'clock, for an hour. And they're learning Chassidus. The Alter Rebbe loved Chassidus. It was so interesting. His neshama felt so close to Hashem. Of course, when they learned Nigla also, he felt close to Hashem. But special when you learn Chassidus, you feel special close to Hashem. And a special feeling that the neshama feels. The neshama feels these things. And they're learning now, it's 1:30, and now it's 2 o'clock. And the Alter Rebbe looks on the clock. He doesn't want to stop. Actually, no. They're learning, it's 1:30, it's 1:45, it's 10 minutes to 2, 5 minutes to 2, 5 minutes left. 5 minutes left, the Alter Rebbe doesn't want to stop. So what did he do? The Alter Rebbe made a trick. Outside the window, there was a bird on a tree, singing. The Alter Rebbe says to Avram, well, what kind of a bird is that? That I hear the singing from that bird, what kind of a bird is that? And Rabbi Avram looks out the window for a second, and then as he looks out the window, the Alter Rebbe goes over to the clock and he drays it back. He drays it back a few minutes, 1:45. And they go on learning, and now the clock goes for another 10 minutes, another few minutes. It's a few minutes before 2. The Alter Rebbe doesn't want to stop learning Chassidus. And the Alter Rebbe, again, by accident, there was something on the table, and he knocks it off the table, and it was right by the end where Avram was, and Avram picks it up from the floor, and the Alter Rebbe goes over and drays the clock back again. Again, it's like 10 to 2. And this way, by extra time, he chapter nine more time for Chassidus. Of course, it's a trick, because really now, when they finished, it was like 2:30, but the clock said 2 o'clock. But he chapter nine an extra half an hour of Chassidus.